What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 137. All right. So I do want to tell you real quick, for those of you who wonder how this podcast got started, okay, how did this get started? Well, for a while, I didn't know there was a setting. I'm not a tech person, and it actually was hiding the first three episodes of this podcast. So if you're ever like, I wonder why Derek started a podcast, like where this even came from, it's actually a pretty crazy story. So now, at least on Apple iTunes, I know, and I do believe on all the platforms, you can go back and hear episodes 1, 2, and 3. You can catch up on some of the old ones from a couple years ago. But I would encourage you to go back and listen to those first three episodes. I think it's like maybe, I don't know, it's like an hour between the three, hour and a half, somewhere in there. But I think it'll give you a lot of context as to why this was even started in the first place, kind of some of the craziness. So I'm super happy to know that, hey, I could go in and get those unhidden finally. So there you go. Also, again, go to crossbowmeats.com. Get yourself some amazing meat. Last night, I had like a pound of ground beef. It's amazing. The ground beef is insane. A lot of people talk about all the good stuff, you know, like the ribeyes and blah, blah, blah. The ground beef is amazing too. So check it out. All right, everybody. Super excited for today. Let's get started. So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward. What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another solo week on the Primal King Podcast. As always, super excited to have you on board here. We are fresh off the Riggins Rodeo. It's always such a good time. We usually have a bunch of people that come and stay with us and family, and we go to the Riggins Rodeo, which, do you guys remember like 10 years ago when Al Gore's like, the earth has a temperature? No, Al Gore, like who has a temperature is me, because it's freezing ass cold in the middle of May, sideways hail at the Riggins Rodeo. It was miserable, but it was always fun because we were surrounded with a bunch of people. But that leads me into what I want to chat with you all about today is, so we have, so going back to when I talked to you about the school board levy here, and kind of how so many of us have like these different ideas of how to reach the same goal. Well, what was fascinating to me, and this is why we need like reasonable debate, right? Like we need like cool heads to prevail, is so we can understand one another. Now, having said that, I had a friend who sees a lot of things very differently than me. And we started talking about someone, you know, as we're sitting around having adult beverages, why wouldn't we talk about alcoholism, right? I mean, of course, that's going to have to come up. But anyways, so we all know and love someone who is a serious alcoholic, right? Someone who has a serious problem. And this is where, again, kind of going back to when I talked about the school levy, we have these different ideas of how to get to the same goal. And really, the person that I was kind of having this, let's say, debate with, right? And again, it was reasonable, it was good. And this again, like, I can't reiterate this enough, is why we need to talk through these things. But here is why I believe we're having this collision in our country right now. Because of the fact that we look at things and we kind of start so differently, right? Like I'd given the analogy, like, hey, if we're both starting in Boise, Idaho, and we're both wanting to get to LA, we might take two different trips to get there. The challenge is, though, the reality is maybe, is that sometimes we're not starting in the same position, right? In fact, most of us, maybe that's why we kind of have this collision, is because we're actually not starting from the same point. We might have the same goal, but we're not starting at the same point. So having said that, we start having this debate about kind of the person who is really, really suffering from this alcoholism, right? Like completely ruined his life. Very, very sad. And I'm sure most of you out there at this point, you probably know somebody who struggles with alcoholism or maybe drug addiction, or at least know someone who has struggled with that. It's absolutely heartbreaking, right? You see these people who end up becoming just essentially a shell of who they were, right? So often they don't look good. You can tell they're not healthy. You can tell that they're just in this really bad spot. So then we got on the topic, and this is where we come at it from different angles. We got on the topic of why this person is an alcoholic. And for me, I know you guys have been following this, right? You know that I'm huge on mindset and huge on like personal freedom, personal responsibility, personal choice. So essentially it becomes kind of a debate around, well, it's not his fault. He's an alcoholic. He was most likely predisposed to become an alcoholic, right? And so then we get into almost this nature and nurture debate, right? Which is probably as old as time. Is it nature? Like, was this person born an alcoholic and then just ended up becoming one because he has this genetic disposition to become an alcoholic? Or was it a choice? Here's my answer on this. And I'll tell you why I feel like this gets into such a bigger, kind of issue, if you will, or problem within our country and within us individually, right? So my approach to this is that I believe, yes, you can have that genetic disposition. In fact, what happened the next morning, which was funny, is that my friend actually showed me, like, there is this gene. I don't have it pulled up right now, but it's like the ABD1 or something like that gene that makes you predisposed to alcoholism, blah, 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 blah. But here was my main argument, and here's something that I would like for you all to know as well, is that I believe that nature is strong within us, right? I believe that we are born with certain tendencies. Now, from there, you have, I believe, the free will to act on those tendencies, right? And this is where you get into a whole host of other debates. This is the people, are you born gay? Do you become gay, right? Are you born an alcoholic? Do you become an alcoholic? Are you born violent? Do you become violent? Like, I think that so many of these things, you are born with. I really do believe that, right? And I don't want to get into like the whole gay issue or debate, but like, I mean, there's people that I know that are like, yeah, that person kind of always seemed like a little bit feminine from the time that they were like 5 years old, right? And so when they come out as gay, I'm not surprised by it. I'm not saying you have to agree or disagree with gay, but like, I mean, we all know those people, right? And I'm not here to judge any of those people who make those decisions, whatever. What I'm telling you though, is that I also do believe that we can have those predisposed, maybe genetic genes and still not act on them. And that's, and that has nothing to do with the gay side of things, right? Like, I don't really care one way or the other. Act on whatever you want with that. That's not my cup of tea, but whatever, right? But when it comes to alcoholism, let me tell you something. Like, one of the things that I will be forever grateful to my mom, right? I will be forever grateful is her pounding this into my head when I was young, which is essentially, she said, because, you know, when I was in high school, I'd go out and party sometimes, right? Like, it happened. And I remember her telling me, after she would find out that I'd been partying or whatever, she would be like, you have to be very, very careful. So I know that some parents would maybe ground their kids for months or years or lock them in their bedroom or whatever else. But the thing that I'm forever grateful for is that my mom didn't just heavy-handedly, and honestly, I don't know that I could do this with my kids, right? Like, if I found out that my daughters especially were out drinking, I'd probably just lock them in their bedroom for the rest of their life and never let them come out again. But thank God, like, my mom actually said this to me, and it was several times to where it like was beat into my head to where I understood when she said, look, like, your grandma was an alcoholic. Your dad was an alcoholic. It runs in the family on your dad's side, right? And I think my great grandpa, like, I remember being a little kid, he'd like sneak down to the shop and chug on some whiskey, and he was like 80 years old. I don't know if he's an alcoholic or not, but he definitely liked his drinks and he didn't want my great grandma knowing about it. So, and like, even with my dad, right? Like, my dad was a full-fledged alcoholic. He was. He was a functioning alcoholic. He wasn't wake up and, you know, pound a fifth of whiskey in the morning. Like, he would drive around with a bunch of Keystone Light in the back of his cooler and he'd go check his cows, and he was very, very functioning, but he wasn't alcoholic, right? Like, he drank every day. And so, like, I remember my mom being like, you have to be very, very careful with alcohol because your family, like, essentially you're predisposed to becoming an alcoholic. And so I knew from a very young age that this is something that I could struggle with. And if I'm being 100% honest, like, I love to drink beer. Like, I do. But I also know that I have a choice to stop that car wreck before it happens, because I literally could probably, well, I don't know, like, I get hungover, so whatever, but like, I feel like I could be somebody who drinks every single day. I really do. I feel like there's something in me that makes me happy when I'm drinking, maybe, or whatever else, so I'm like predisposed to that. So again, coming back to this debate, this is why I'm so concrete on the side of choice, on the side of personal responsibility, because I can be two things at once. I can be predisposed to being an alcoholic. Maybe I have that gene. I've never had it tested, obviously, that my friend had said that there literally is a gene that can make you, you know, susceptible to alcoholism. I would be willing to bet that I have that gene. But at the same time, I also am willing to take responsibility and know that I have to be very, very careful when I drink. I can't do it all the time, because if I do, I could fall into that, you know, that storm, if you will, and I could be there. I could be the guy that was at the bar all the time. That was my dad when I was growing up, right? He was at the bar all the time. I know that I could do that, but I choose not to. I mean, I've probably been to the bar like 3 times since we've been back here at the ranch, right? And the reason for that is that I know that, man, I could get stuck in that quicksand so easy. I know it, right? It's like the same thing. Maybe your weakness is beautiful women. And you know that, hey, if I'm around beautiful women too many times, I might end up doing something that my wife would not appreciate. And so what you have to do, in my opinion, is you have to make these choices that keep you from getting into those situations. And so again, while we're having this debate, the person that I'm talking with is like, it's not his fault. He probably was predisposed to that and he needs help. Now, here's the thing. This is, again, where we can agree is that I do believe that this friend of ours does need help. Like he's kind of past the point, I believe, of making the choice, because any of you who know people who are addicted to drugs, like hardcore, or addicted to, you know, like super, super alcoholics, it could actually like kill them, right? And I'm not a doctor, but just from what I've seen is that if you are drinking, you know, a fifth of whiskey every day, and then all of a sudden you quit cold turkey, like it actually could kill you. Like your body can go into shock. And same way with some of these hardcore drugs is that like, it's not good just to do that. Like you probably need professional help at that point. But where we really, really, really disagreed is kind of the choices that led to that position to where now he does need professional help. And so this is why I wanted to bring this topic up, because I'm so, so passionate about us having a choice. And if there's one thing that I believe seriously there is systemic racism, it is the racism of low standards. It is the racism saying that because you have a certain skin tone, because you come from a certain area, that means that you are basically you're worthless. And these stinking politicians go up there and, you know, you see this in Chicago and LA and San Francisco and Maryland, like Baltimore, like all of these big cities. You see these politicians that get up there and they promise all this stuff because, you know, they come from this background of racism, or they come from this background of poverty and everything else. And you know what I would love? What I would absolutely love, and this person would probably never get elected, but what I would love to see a politician say is that it is up to you. It is up to you to fix your own stuff. Because if you do that, you'll be fine. And I get there's people that grow up in single parent households that grow up with violence and drug use and addiction all around them, and they know nothing else. What do we want to do? We just want to send those people food stamps, right? We want to give them a social net, which I agree with. Like for me, I'm a very probably what you would consider politically a very conservative person. I want the government to leave us alone, but I also do fully support providing certain people with safety nets, right? Like I don't want to see a kid starving to death because his mom's a crackhead. I don't want to see that. And I don't think anybody does. Now, the way that we distribute that money and the way that we help those people out, maybe that's another debate. But what I tell you is that what I wish that we could do is that kid who's in second grade, who has a mom that's a crackhead, and that's all he's ever known. I would love for that kid to know that he has a choice. He may not see it right now, but he has a choice. He has a choice to follow down those exact same footsteps, because I could have chose to follow down the same footsteps as my dad. My dad was a great guy, but he was married 5 times. He was an alcoholic. And those are some things that I just knew I did not want to do for myself. So I knew that I had to make decisions and choices that led me away from that. I know that I could go out and I could party and I could sleep around and all that type of stuff, right? But I choose not to, because I know that like I'm predispositioned to those things. I fully believe that. But I made the choice and I've made the decisions day after day after day to not put myself in those situations to the best of my ability, right? So coming back to the debate, when I hear it's not his fault, he was predisposed to this, I say, no, it is his fault. Because once he got to that point of drinking, like he should have made the choice to know that the path he was going down was a really, really bad one, right? And there's a lot of really, really bad things that happened during the course of him kind of getting to this point with his alcoholism that I feel like a lot of people would have made the choice to be like, ah, I got to stop. Now, again, I get it. Once you get so far into these addictions and some of these drugs now, like they're crazy, right? Like you could be fully addicted to them within a couple of times of use, it sounds like. Like, that's why I'll never touch those things, right? Because it's like, what if it does make me feel so good that I need it every day? No, I'm out. But having said that, I do believe we all have a choice. And again, there's nuance to everything. I don't want to hear, because I do get some people, they get, you know, they go through back surgery, they get on a bunch of painkillers, and then they get addicted. That's an outlier to me, right? And I know that happens a lot, but that's an outlier. What I'm talking about are people actually making the choice on whether or not they're going to live with it, with, you know, with the choices that allow them to get there. And this is where that collision comes back to me. Because if you are someone who is a bleeding heart and you think that these people have no chance, they have no chance whatsoever, the only thing that we can do is to enable them and to give them low standards, we're not helping anybody. Like, think about it with your own kids, right? Like, we always joke about the, you know, the participation trophies, which I'm 100% against. And it's so cruel to even say it sometimes, because I've coached little tiny kids and it's awesome to see their faces light up when they get recognition. But I think that they also have to understand is that just because you do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need to be recognized for it, right? Like, just because, you know, you're on, you know, a 10-year-old soccer team, it doesn't mean you're the MVP, right? Like, I feel like it's great to have an MVP. So that way the other kids on there are like, look what that kid's doing. And maybe I can achieve that as well if I work really hard and I have a higher standard to accomplish this stuff, right? But instead, what we said is you're all the MVP, right? And to me, again, that low standard. So now there's no standard of what an MVP is. There's no standard of what excellence is. There's just kind of everybody's graded on the curve, right? Like, little Johnny's terrible. Little Jimmy's great. But we want to make sure that everybody feels special. Now, again, like, if you get into like 4 and 5 year olds, perfect. Make them have fun with it. But as you start getting older, we have to have standards. Like, we have to. We have to, like, in my opinion, like, what I ultimately wish, and this will never happen because it would probably just solve too many problems, which is I would love to see a 5th or a 6th grade course in every single school that makes them learn mindset. That I don't care if it's Tony Robbins type stuff. I don't care if it's a damn Primal King podcast, whatever it is, right? Like, something that will make people understand that they have so much more control over their life than what they think they do. With the decisions that they make, with the actions that they take, and with the consequences that they'll face if they keep going down a certain path. Like, that's what I would love to see, but we won't do that. What we'll do is instead we'll tell kids that, oh, you're suffering from systemic racism. And again, I'm not even here to debate like whether or not that happens. There probably is. But the reality is in 2022, there's no better place to be a minority than there is in the US. There's just not, right? Like, there's still a lot of countries that are racist as hell. But here, like, literally, I believe everyone has a chance provided, all right, there is an asterisk here, provided that you understand that you do have a chance. Because if you've been told your entire life at 18 years old that you have no hope, you have no chance, you came from a single parent household, you came from a rural community, you came from inner city, there's no chance. You have no chance of being successful. What will they do? They'll do anything they can because they're not worried about consequences, because like the consequences that they have no future. They have nothing to believe in. And I believe it's the same way when it comes down to so many of these issues, right? Like if I believed that I'm inherently going to be an alcoholic, I wouldn't even think about making the choice to not become one, right? Like I would just be like, okay, I'm an alcoholic. Like I was born this way. It's just who I am. Like, I'm just going to sit around and drink all day, every day. I'm not going to do anything productive because I already know that I'm going to be an alcoholic anyways, because I'm predisposed to that. So once we start understanding that we do have a choice, right? Like you have a choice. If you're listening to this, like again, and I've said this before, but it's true. You can go through statistics and you can see what is going to dictate whether or not you'll be successful in life, right? And it's not an everything, but it's when you have statistics and data to back it up, like it's something. So if you have a single parent, you're more likely not to be as successful. If you don't graduate from college, you're more likely to be less successful. If you grew up in poverty, you're less likely to be successful. Like those are three like just killers, right? So why is it then that I've been able to, let's just say, do okay for myself? Because I came from all three of those, right? Like my parents were divorced. I'm not college educated, quote unquote. Like I didn't finish. I don't have a degree. And then number three is that we grew up in poverty when I was very young. Right? Like in terms of like income. Now, again, my mom's pulled herself out. It's been awesome to see that. You know, when my mom and my stepdad got together, we had a much higher quality of life, much more income than we did. But like when I was little, I've told you guys before, like we had a room that three of us stayed in that had a partial dirt floor. Like it doesn't really get a whole lot more poverty than that. And so why is it that I've been able to do okay? Because along the way, I met some people who was like, you don't have to buy into that. You don't have to buy into that story. Like I had a really good football coach in high school that was good around some of the mindset stuff. Like I was able to meet people through different work experiences that allowed me to think bigger and to think that I did have choices, that I didn't have to just be somebody who sat around and was poor my whole life, because that was how I grew up when I was young and in my formative years. What's happening right now is, and I believe a big part, and there's a lot of other dynamics that go into this when you're in a single parent household, things like that, right? But I believe one of the biggest contributing factors is that those people feel like they have no options. They feel like they have no way of actually being able to get out of that. Why is that? Because everyone around them is not getting out of that. Everyone around them is, you know, they're violent, maybe they're drug addicted, they're alcohol addicted, they're, you know, working minimum wage jobs, or they're on food stamps or whatever else. And so when you grow up thinking that that's the only option that you have, you let that standard just sink all the way down. And again, like what I would love is for us to get in there with so many of these places and say, you know what, you right over there, you with the dirty clothes and it looks like you haven't showered in 3 days, you know you have the opportunity to go and be a billionaire. You know that? Like our country actually provides you that opportunity. Do you know that you could go be a millionaire? That you could live wherever you want to live? You don't have to live in inner city Baltimore. You could actually, once you graduate, you could move anywhere. You could go get a job in the oil fields for that matter. You could make $150,000 a year working half the year and you could live a great life. Did you know that's even possible? You know, you over there that looks like you haven't brushed your hair, little girl, do you know that you could be a traveling nurse and make a couple $100,000 a year potentially? Did you even know that? And if you made a couple $100,000 a year, you could have your own house, you could have your own car, you could have your bills paid, you could have this, you could have that, right? Like, but no one's doing that. We're not doing that. Instead, what we have are these freaking spineless politicians that go in there and say, you've been held down by the man. You have no options. You have no way of getting out of it. It's not your fault, right? That's the stuff we're teaching these kids, and I don't get it. So just understand this, and I want to leave you with this. You always have a choice, and the more people that understand that, the better off we'll be, even if you're predisposed to some bad things like I am. All right, everybody. Have an awesome day.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.